The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good thing is there are many cities throughout the country with affordable properties, many even under 100,000. Starting on November 1st, I will be hosting a four-week intensive virtual workshop that's going to teach you how to buy your first out-of-state investment property. We're going to talk about how to find the right location, how to build a team you can trust, creative financing, finding and analyzing properties, and so much more. You deserve to invest in real estate. You deserve to build wealth for your family. It's simply a matter of having the right information. I definitely want to see you there. So if you're interested, go to outofstatemoney.com/workshop, and I look forward to seeing you there.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day. And today's Closing Day features episode 179 with Devin George. Devin is a former NBA player and three-time NBA champion who is now in the real estate development game. And so we want to talk about his experience in affordable housing, why he chose to invest in affordable housing, and what some of the process is like. So without any further ado, let's get into it. Episode 179 with Devin George, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day feature. Let's go.
In this country, the power is in ownership. I mean, however you feel about it, that's just what it is, you know?
You got it.
Owning everything, you know what I mean? So owning the commercial space, owning the residential space, like owning everything and kind of taking that step and putting our people in position.
It is. And the ownership also allows me to start breaking some of the issues that we're having with, you know, the felony box. Mm. When that box is checked, you ain't getting a job and you ain't getting an apartment. Well, what do? And so I do a deeper dive and look into it when staff brings me a few people that are looking for housing that have felonies or have some things on their record. I look at it and not in a robotic form of felony, boom, you're out, denied. It's an automatic denial. And so, well, I look deep into it of like, well, how long ago was this? What was it? Have they been in any trouble after? Mm-hmm. Can you get me some letters of recommendation of counseling you've been doing or anger management classes you've been taking, somebody that vouch you, your job, your employer, whoever it is. And then, take that into consideration.
Yeah. No, I respect that. I think, you know, sometimes people just need a second chance. You know, sometimes you just make bad decisions, sometimes multiple bad decisions. But I mean, here's the thing. If someone doesn't give you an opportunity, it's probably a great chance that you're going to be back in the street doing whatever you were doing, going back to prison and just repeating that cycle if you don't have that opportunity. And I tip my hat to you because I mean, talk to countless people and most wouldn't have that stance. So I appreciate that you think of it in that way.
And knock on wood, every single person that I've gave a chance to hadn't came back. They've actually been the best for me. They haven't. Wow. They've been my biggest supporter.
Yeah.
They've got my back the most because I've given them the opportunity and they've stayed quiet.
Yeah.
I call and ask, hey, how's Washington? Hey, Mr. George, we haven't seen him. We haven't heard from him. He dropped his rent off and he go back and sit in his room. And that was one of my things that they get a chance to talk to me. And I say, hey, you know, my mentor told me, give him another chance from you, but I can't give you a second chance.
Yeah.
This is it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't have this.
I respect that. So at the Commons, is it all affordable? Is it
all affordable?
Okay.
100%.
So there's a lot of misconceptions about affordable housing. What are some of them that you've heard that are not?
It's
true?
The word affordable. You know, affordable is different than everybody. Affordable is different from Bill Gates to me. And, you know, affordable is affordable. But when you look at the numbers of what you need to do, I had to educate our community on, like, the first one coming in, the first building, you know, when they hear affordable, oh, this is, they have a different perspective of what affordable housing is and public housing. It's different. I do have to take Section 8 and other programs or whatever because I'm receiving federal money. I'm receiving grants. I'm receiving money from the city. I have to take their program. I can't take their money and say, hey, the programs you run, I ain't taking Section 8. I have to, you know, so the word affordable just kind of gets people in their mind of what it is. There's affordable housing in Beverly Hills. But it's about the AMI that's over there. Mm. Affordable might be a $3,000 one bedroom apartment. Well, that's affordable to that area, you know. So it just, I think people get that mixed up with affordable housing and public housing. Mm. Affordable housing, you have to qualify. You have to have a job. I have to check your HR. They have to send me a letter. I have to check your paycheck. You have to qualify and be in this income. And it ain't low. It's a normal working people, people that work at the mall, people, teachers, you know, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. That's who qualifies.
Right.
It's the missing middle. It's the because really affordable housing is needed because if you're low, low income, you can get a house somewhere. If you're high, high income, you can go live wherever you want to live. Mm-hmm. But when you're a working person working every day that can't get a flat tire because that's going to throw your whole budget off and just snowball a chain of things. Those are the people that need affordable housing.
Yep.
And they don't qualify. They make too much money to go in low income. They don't make enough to go live in Beverly Hills, wherever it is. So they call it missing middle. So that's the majority of the country. That's the majority of our nation. Yep. Is people in the middle. The ultra wealthy is only a few people. You know, most people are working every day, getting up at 8 a.m., coming home at 5.
Yeah, definitely. And AMI is area median income.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Just take a circle. So wherever our project is, mm-hmm. boop, take a circle, pin. What's everybody making right there? And then they do the calculations of here's how much. And then really it's from the census tract and all the, they give me, here's what you charge. It ain't like really me. You charge between this and this. This person has to make this between this and this much money. Mm-hmm. It's simple.
Got it. One of the other misconceptions that's spread a lot is that affordable housing is not profitable. So from a numbers perspective, how do you make it profitable?
Developer fee driven.
Gotcha.
Your cash flow margins aren't astronomical, mm-hmm. but at the same time, my cash flow is my developer fee is larger, mm-hmm. my cash flow is smaller, but my risk is smaller too. Mm. When you make more on cash flow, your risk gonna be higher.
Yeah,
you're gonna have money tied up in there.
Yeah.
So both is needed. I don't get the depreciation from my affordable housing. Mm-hmm. I trade that off from the equity investor, the tax credit investor. They get all of that. I get all the cash flow. I get the developer fee. I get all that, but they get the depreciation. So you receive large developer fees, mm-hmm. and you don't have any offset. Usually on the buildings that you have your depreciation, you can offset your income. I can't. So every penny I make on the affordable housing buildings, there's no offset for me from this building.
Gotcha.
Like normal.
Gotcha.
So it's just your business model of what you want, mm-hmm. and your risk tolerance. I think to me, it's developer fee driven. So I'm getting a fee included in the tax credits for building this building and hitting these benchmarks that the tax credit investor needs. He says, you know, we'll pay you 20% now, mm-hmm. at the beginning. Once the building is finished, we'll pay you another 50%. Once you file your 8609, we'll pay you another 10%. Once you complete your occupancy, we'll finish the rest.
Got you. So for the developer fees, for those who may not know, like how does in this instance, how does that work? Like how is that structured?
It's usually 10 to 15% of project costs.
Got it. So if the project is, let's say, $1 million, like your fee, however they break it up, will be 100,000
somewhere. Yeah.
Got you. Mm-hmm. What was the cost? Approximate cost of the commons?
The commons was about 14 million.
Gotcha.
And then phase two across the street, Penn Avenue Union, which is 65 units, all affordable, was 19, almost 20 million.
Gotcha. So from a funding perspective, how does it work? Are there like government funds that go into it? Did you have to raise any money, put in? Like, what does that look like?
So with the affordable housing, it's a lot of participation. It's a lot of different sources.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people putting in. Someone's putting in a million. Someone's putting in. These are from government entities. Mm-hmm. The county may put in 500,000. Foundations may put in 200,000. So it all kind of, the sources and use got to balance out. You know, whatever your cost of your building is, 19 million, you need some sources of 19 million to cover that.
Right.
And I work backwards. Mm-hmm. So basically we do a fit plan, 65 units. How much can those 65 units generate me in money? And then how much of a mortgage can I afford? Mm-hmm. Once I figure out the mortgage I can afford, then I see how much of that building is in basis, how much I'll get in tax credits. So those are the two main sources, the tax credits and the permanent loan.
Gotcha.
And then I have my gap. And then the gap you have, so let's just do an easy number, you know, $20 million building, I can afford a $7 million mortgage mm-hmm. based on what rents I can charge. Then I can get $7 million from the tax credit investor. Well, that's 14 of the 20.
Right.
Now I got a $6 million gap that I got to fill. How do I fill that gap? And then that's when I kind of go to foundations. That's when I go to the city.
Yeah.
That's when I get the partnerships of, hey, I need $1 million from you. I will paint the walls green and do whatever.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I need 500,000 from you. I will use these materials in the building that are eco-friendly,
yeah,
whatever it may be.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.